Good afternoon. You're listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL 101.7 FM, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley from the University of the Fraser Valley's Abbotsford campus, which is located on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo people.
I have a very special episode for you today, an interview with MLA for Kamloops South Thompson, Todd Stone.
Do you think the government of BC needs to provide more assistance to businesses in British Columbia that have been affected by this new variant shutdowns?
Yes, I do. Look, there are thousands of small businesses all across British Columbia which have done their part throughout this pandemic. They've adhered to the health restrictions. They've made huge investments in personal protective equipment. They've made investments in ensuring that their workplaces are safe for their patrons and for their employees. They've done everything that's been asked of them. But it's been a couple of years, and many sectors with thousands of small businesses have been hit extremely hard, and some have been closed for big periods of this pandemic. We're calling on the BC government to expand the funding that's available, obviously to businesses that have been closed, but also to recognize that there's lots of businesses that maybe haven't been entirely closed, but have seen massive drops in their revenue, and they're struggling to keep their heads above water. The government has been slow in pushing program support out. And the supports that have been made available, like the current COVID relief closure fund, is too little too late for thousands of businesses out there. So the government's got to step up and do a better job, or we're going to see thousands of small businesses and communities across this province close their doors forever in the coming weeks and months.
If the Liberal Party was in power, what kind of economic assistance would you provide businesses that have been affected by all these shutdowns?
Well, there's a few things. First off, let's recognize that there's a massive labor shortage right now across a lot of different sectors. We believe that the government needs to step up and do a heck of a lot more to work with small businesses to attract the talent that they need, to train, defray training costs, to help with new employees learn the skills that they need in order to take on whatever the job is in question. The government is missing in action when it comes to this labor shortage and supporting businesses to get through it. Number two, this is not a time that the government of British Columbia should be layering additional costs onto the backs of small businesses. I'll give you one good example. We all support employer paid sick pay. These five paid sick days are very important. We do believe that employees should not have to make that agonizing choice about going into work sick because they can't stay at home, because they'll lose some pay if they do. But the Premier, John Horgan, and the NDP promised before they brought in employer-paid sick pay that the costs of this program would not be put on the shoulders of small business during the pandemic. Well, they've broken that promise. And as of early January, earlier this month, the employer-paid sick pay program came into effect, and those costs are now being borne by small businesses at a time when many of them have been closed or many of them are barely struggling to pay their bills. Thirdly, with respect to financial supports, there's no question that the government has missed the mark here. As I said a moment ago, too little too late when it comes to financial supports. This latest program, the COVID Closure Relief Fund, provides for funding a very, very modest amount. Most small businesses will only get about $2,000 to $5,000 as a one-time payment. Meanwhile, these are businesses that many of whom have been shut down permanently for a number of weeks. And need a lot more support than that. Their rent, their labor costs, those other fixed costs are still there. So that level of financial support is not what it needs to be. We would expand that to provide more financial support in dollar terms, and we would expand the program so that thousands of other businesses that have been impacted by these latest health measures are also eligible to receive funding. I'm thinking of travel agents, event planners, folks in the live events sector, and a number of other examples. Yeah, these are businesses that haven't necessarily been shut down in this latest wave, but have seen dramatic decreases in their revenue and they need more support. So don't put any additional costs on the backs of business, like the employer paid sick days until we're out of the pandemic, like the NDP promised. Help small businesses recruit the people they need to deal with the labor shortage they're facing, and put more money into the financial supports that are available for small businesses, and expand that program eligibility to a lot more impacted businesses.
As you know, housing prices in British Columbia are extremely high, and young people are finding it more and more difficult to afford their first house. What kind of steps does the government need to take to make it easier for young people to afford their first house?
Well, this is a great question, and it's one of the most important questions that I think elected officials of all levels of government need to double down our efforts to solve. There is an entire generation of British Columbians, young British Columbians, that are watching their dream of one day owning a home slowly but surely fade away. And in many communities around British Columbia, that dream is gone, I think, at this point for young British Columbians. This NDP government, their signature, their most important promise that they made when they took power in 2017 in that election, and then they were reelected again in 2020, their signature commitment was that they were going to solve the housing affordability crisis. Well, that hasn't happened. We now see housing costs in Abbotsford, in Chilliwack, in Vancouver, in Surrey, in Kamloops, in Prince George, in Victoria. Virtually every community around the province have seen double-digit increases just year over year, let alone in some cases 30 or 40% increases in total assessed value from where these values were 4 years ago when the NDP came into power. Where are the NDP missing the mark? It is our view that the most significant policy lever that the province of British Columbia has is to do everything that they absolutely can to drive more supply. We need more housing supply and all types of housing. We need condos, townhomes, apartments, subsidized housing, and single family homes. There's a whole range of tax, regulatory, and zoning changes that need to happen at the local government level. But the province has to begin to mandate more of this so that we can bring on more housing supply much, much faster. And frankly, we also need to do more to curb speculation. There is still housing speculation taking place in our market. And there's a number of measures that we believe would go a long ways to reducing the amount of speculation so that, again, our young British Columbians who want to own a home are able to do so in their foreseeable future. The last thing I'll say is it's not just about home ownership, and housing affordability is not just about homes that you own. It's also about rent. Rent has gone up dramatically in British Columbia over the last 4 years. And that, again, is directly attributable to a tightening supply, a lack of supply in the housing market, including rental units across British Columbia. So a great big fail for the NDP government on housing affordability. And, you know, there's all kinds of initiatives and actions that have been identified to address this challenge that for whatever reason, the government doesn't seem to be willing to embrace. So we certainly hope they change course because the next generation of British Columbians is counting on it.
British Columbia is also dealing with a drug overdose crisis, the opiate crisis. What kind of policies does the government of British Columbia need to implement to deal with this crisis?
Look, there have been two public health emergencies concurrently here in British Columbia for a number of years now. Obviously, we're all aware of the COVID public health crisis that we've been living through for the last almost 2 years. But back in 2006, so 6 years ago, the province of British Columbia, and actually the government of the day, which I was part of, 2016, I should say, the government declared a public health emergency with respect to overdose deaths in British Columbia. And yet, when you look back over certainly over the last 4 to 5 years, there's been a lot of talk and not a lot of action that has had a meaningful impact on reducing the number of opioid-related deaths and ensuring that people are able to get better. We are now losing 6 British Columbians every single day to overdoses in this province. That is something that no British Columbian should be satisfied with, and it requires a doubling down of efforts. The number one thing that we've been calling for, the number one thing that we think would make a huge difference, is at the present time, there are simply not enough treatment and rehabilitation options for people in order to get better. There has been some housing built, some supportive housing projects that have been launched in communities across the province. Those are good first steps, but this government is failing at ensuring that the supports that people need to get better are attached to these housing units. So we are calling for a significant investment in mental health and addiction recovery beds in communities around the province, not 2 beds here and 2 beds there, but hundreds of beds that we need across the province with very specialized services, mental health and addiction related, so that people can have appropriate services matched to their unique needs in order to actually access a path of wellness, so that they can actually break their addiction, or they can better manage their mental health challenge. In many cases, it's both addiction and mental health combined. But the point is, they need those wraparound 24/7 supports so that they can get better. Those supports are just not available to the degree that they're needed across our province today. And we all see what's happening in our downtown communities as a result. You've got increasing numbers of vulnerable people with significant mental health and addiction challenges that are not getting the supports they need. And the net impact of that, beyond the very human dynamic of vulnerable people not getting helped, is we're seeing a tremendous increase in property crime and theft and a rapid deterioration of the social fabric of our communities. None of this is acceptable, and it all has to be fixed moving forward.